We started a teaching last Wednesday night. We call it the last 7 days, and we're looking at the fact of the time that we're living in up till Jesus Christ returns. As we go along, as long as the Lord leads us along this time, we'll look at the things concerning what Scripture says concerning Christ coming for the church, but also these days and times beforehand, what Scripture says to us. One of the things we did last week, and I'm going to read through it again, because it's sort of a foundational thing that we're looking at, is a prophecy was by Kenneth Hagin, which was given on September 2nd, 1950, concerning America. And this is the place that we live. This is God spoke concerning our nation. But even God speaking concerning our nation, we are looking to find out, is this prophecy, is it true or not? You know, you have to know if the Word of God, you know, many times prophecies and things are given. People like prophecies, certain prophecies, and they'll like them. You know, it isn't a matter of whether you like them. You've got to know in your heart whether it's true or not. There's one thing, as I've learned over the years of prophecies, when prophecies are said, I always take time and pray and take them to God. I said them. I read them to the Lord. I say, Lord, this was said. I want to know in my heart, is this true? Is this what you're saying? You know, because not all prophecies for everybody. And there's things that are not for everyone. Sometimes prophecies are conditional. You can sit around and say how much you like it or not, and you can believe it all is true, but it may never do a thing for you if you don't meet the conditions. So there's conditions to things, just like in Scripture. No matter how much you like the promises of God, no matter how much you think they're wonderful, if you don't meet the conditions of the promise, you ain't going to ever have it. So knowing the promise isn't everything. And so, but we want to find it. Is it true? Because we want to act in faith. You can't act in faith on something you don't know that's true. You can't act in faith on it. And so the Bible says the Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. Well, the Spirit will bear witness with you of things. If the Holy Spirit moved upon a person to prophesy something, then the Spirit will bear witness with you with that. It's one of the things, as you want to know, you can take different things about prophecy. There's sometimes a prophecy is given. Over the years, I've listened to prophecies given, and people just said, man, really liked it and all that stuff. And I thought, there's things said in that prophecy aren't accurate scripturally. They're not accurate. The Scripture doesn't speak that way. But people like it, and they'll say, I'll take it. Say, hold it. I'm sorry. If it don't line up with Scripture. Scripture says something else. And so we need to know about things. This is important. And so this prophecy is really important, because if it is really speaking to America, then we need to come in line with it. As a church, we need to act in faith. And there's one thing that I've learned. Whenever you act in faith in line with what God said, and you know that God has said it, there's blessing that goes with it. So you get in line with it. And so I want to get in line with it because there is blessing that goes with it. Now, in the prophecy, we had taken part of it, of the prophecy. I didn't read the whole prophecy, but I'm just going to start where I did last week about this scroll that was handed to Kenneth Hagin in the vision. It said, and the scroll was written in the first person and seemed as if Jesus himself was speaking. I read, America's receiving her last call. Some nations already have received their last call and never will receive another. Then in large print it said, the time of the end of all things is at hand. This statement was repeated 4 or 5 times. Jesus also said that this was the last great revival. He went on to say, all the gifts of the Spirit will be in operation in the church in these last days, and the church will do greater greater things than the early church did. It will have greater power, signs, and wonders than were recorded in the Acts of the Apostles. He said that we have seen and experienced many healings, but we will now behold amazing miracles that have not been seen before. Jesus continued, more and more miracles will be performed in the last days, which are just ahead, for it is time for the gift of the working of miracles to be more in prominence. We now have entered into the area of the miraculous. Many of my people will not accept the moving of my Spirit and will turn back and will not be ready to meet me at my coming. Many will be deceived by false prophets and miracles of satanic origin, but follow the Word of God, follow the Spirit of God in me, and you will not be deceived. I'm gathering my own together and in preparing them, for this time is short. Now, there were several other exhortations to watchfulness, to awaken and pray and not be deceived. Then I read, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. As I spoke to Noah and said, yet 7 days and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will will I destroy from off the face of the earth. So today I am speaking and giving America her last warning and call to repentance. And the time that is left is comparable to the last 7 days of Noah's time. Warn this generation, as did Noah his generation, for judgment is about to fall. And these sayings shall be fulfilled shortly, for I am coming soon. Jesus repeated, this is the last revival. I am preparing my people for my coming. Judgment is coming, but I will call my people away even unto myself before the worst shall come. But be thou faithful, watch and pray, for the time of the end of all things is at hand. Now, we looked at these things last week. Now, one of the things that we found in this is, you know, they're calling America to repentance. Now, one of the things that we have seen going on, which really is one of the signs of the things, we had the teaching on grace got over. And this isn't the first time that this type of teaching came along. I was back, when I came into the, got born again, back in the 70s, some group started this thing of saying, well, you know, first chapter of the book of John was not for the church, it's for the world. And it talks about, you know, a person when they sin, it's talking about fellowship, it's dealing with the Christian, it's not dealing with the sinner. But teaching came out, and so a guy in Singapore there who has a big ministry, he wrote a book and said, you know, Christians don't have to repent, we're already forgiven, so if you've sinned, you don't have to bother getting repenting or anything like that. This prophecy here says you need to repent. Our nation needs to repent. There needs to be a turning. And they're teaching today, which really is false doctrine, is you don't have to do that. And you know, how things turned out with this teaching. Now, they get these new revelations of teaching, and the spiritual condition of nations gets worse and worse and worse, and they say they're preaching truth. You know, if truth is going out, things ain't going to get worse. But things are getting worse. One of the things we found that we spent time looking in last week is about the days of Noah. And we looked at the fact of that in the what it was like in the days of Noah. We also found out that Jesus compared the days of Noah concerning his second advent, which we're talking about. That's his second coming. Jesus coming from the church is not his second coming, because he doesn't come to the earth. The church meets him in the sky, and we're forever with the Lord. That Jesus doesn't come in a second advent till at the end of the tribulation period, which will start off the millennial reign of Christ, where Christ will take his seat and rule and reign in the earth with a rod of iron. Now, those events, looking the future, he talked to the Jews in Matthew 24 about the fact of their condition at that time is going to be like the days of Noah too. So we see that this is used, this principle of the day of Noah is used. Well, we can look at today and see as this Jesus uses as a principle again. In this prophecy, he said that the same kind of thing would be going on in these days, and these, which is considered these last 7 days. The last 7 days is a representation of the fact that when the ark was finished, God told Noah to go inside and take the animals in. It was 7 days before it rained. He said these last days that we were living in from that time period up till today is part of that, is a similar thing, is falling in the line of the same thing of the last 7 days. In other words, God is calling his people to himself. He's calling people to get into the safety of the ark. In other words, and the ark in these days would be Jesus Christ. In other words, getting born again, following the principles. He's not talking about, we need to understand this. Just because somebody got saved, that don't mean they're in the safety of the ark. Many people are saved and live like hell, and they ain't in the ark. They ain't in safety. Satan has access to them. Satan has access to their lives because they don't live according to the Word. We got to live according to the Word. See, it's one thing we can say whatever we want. Doesn't matter what I believe. It's what I do with what I believe. That's what matters. I have success in life based on what I do, not what I believe. What I believe I don't walk in, it's of no value. And this is one of the big things we're doing today in the church realm. The church I've watched over the last 20 or 30 years, and all this people talk about is what they believe. I don't really give a rip. I watch what they do. I don't care what you say you believe. It don't matter. If what I believe could be completely accurate, but what I do is what I'm going to reap the fruit of. And that's what God observes. One thing we found out about this man Noah was his walk. It talks about he was faith, he believed God, but he also had a walk with God. See, faith is about a walk. Faith is about actions. It's about doing. Smith Wiggles used to always say this, and he knew a little bit about faith. The man had quite a ministry. But he used to say, faith is an action. Faith is what you do. You know, the word believe in the New Testament, in the Greek, that word is a continuous action verb. It is not something that one time you did. I believed on Jesus one time. If you aren't believing like you did at that time, then you ain't believing on Jesus. It's a continuous action verb. In other words, it is continuing. In fact, Paul wrote and talked to people about being continuing in the faith. He said, continuing in it. See, it don't matter what you believe. But this whole idea, we'll find out later on, we're going to look at things as a scripture. The Bible, the New Testament, does not teach once saved, always saved. It does not teach it. Never has taught it. People like to have it. Well, if I'm believing the wrong thing, it ain't going to do me any good when Jesus comes back. When Jesus comes back, you know, people say, I thought what you were saved, you were always saved. Well, you know, Jesus ain't going, oh, wow, if you believe, okay, all right. You believe that, so it's okay. It's not going to be happening. It's being in line with the Word of God. See, the whole thing is that we stay in faith. Faith is something you stay in. Now, if what you believed one time would just always produce the whole way through, you believed on Jesus one time, you never had to believe again. You just go from day to day and don't pay any attention to it. You know, it'd be the same thing as if I believed God to get healed one time, then I would always be healed and I'd never have to believe again to be healed. Does that work? No. It don't work. And see that whole idea. The whole idea of the thing is the success of the Christian walk is continuing in it. That's the success of it. That's, you know, the fruit of it is in there. You know, a farmer can go out there, you know, just because a farmer plowed his field, that don't mean anything's coming up in it. Because he knows if you put something in the ground, it would come up. I mean, he has to go do it. And if you want fruit in your life, you're going to have to do what the Word says. You're going to have to plow the field, you're going to have to put the stuff in, you're going to have to continue to walk in what is the right thing to do to get the harvest. And so that's the way it is. If the principles of the earth work in that manner in which Jesus used them as illustrations in his teaching, then therefore, spiritually, you're going to have to do the same thing. So we need to understand that. It's coming down on these last days. One of the big things is right now it's very difficult with talking to people about the end times is because most people are taught, you don't have to do nothing. You just, I accepted Jesus, 20 years ago, and I'm just all right. Now I'm just doing, this is what I believe. Well, is it in line with the Word? It don't matter. People don't, they'll just go on and say, well, this is what I believe. I don't really care what a person believes. If it ain't in line with the Word of God, it ain't worth believing. Doesn't matter. Faith is based on what God's Word said. Jesus said that people would be judged by what they did. And so, we need to walk in line with these. So the days of Noah, so we see the days of Noah. In fact, I didn't go in to put a lot of stuff down and like to read to you, but if you look back in the history of Israel, and there's a lot of writings and some of the historians like Josephus and them wrote down things of what Jews have passed on down through the centuries about what it was like back in the days of Noah. I mean, man, this bad. People were living bad. Sort of like America today. People really living bad. Anything goes. You know, we're living in a time that's very close to what Israel did in the book of Judges. America's very close. The Christian walk today is very close to what it was Israel was in the book of Judges. Everybody did what he thought was right. They didn't follow God's word. It's what they thought. Well, I think this is okay, and I think that's okay. I think this is all right to do. I think, well, what did God say? That wasn't really important. Everybody's following their own desires and whatever they want, and they've decided that it's good. Well, that's what we live in, a society today like that. Even the church world. What people consider good, they do. And the Bible told us that in the end times, they would call evil good and good evil. Boy, we're living in that day. See, you know, I'm an evil person because I don't believe in homosexuality, lesbianism. I don't believe, you know, adultery and fornication are all right. I don't believe that lying, cheating, stealing is good. That today, that's all acceptable. That's acceptable in society. So, you know, the woke groups, they think I ought to be, you know, somebody ought to do something with this guy, put him out. See, one of the things they want to do, they want to stop the preaching of that. There's a lot of Christians say they're Christians and they don't like teaching like that because they want to continue in sin. That's what they want to do. They want a gospel of sin that grace does not cover sin. Grace gives the ability to live above sin. That's what grace does. Grace is not the ability to sin and get away with it, because you can't. All sin will be judged. All unrepented sin will be judged. And repentance is this. It's turning away from that. It's not just saying, God, forgive me, but I'm going to go do it again. That's not repentance. Repentance is turning away from something. That's what it means, to turn away. So when we repent, this is what we got to turn away from whatever it is. Well, sin is something they don't want to turn away from today. See, God just forget He loves everybody. That's right. Everybody's in hell. He loved them. He loved every one of them. But they're there today, and they'll be in the lake of fire for eternity. That's where they're going to be. God loved them. And I know it's not popular preaching, but it's the Bible. It's not the popular thing to say to people. People don't like to hear that. But you know, when I got saved, that's what God dealt with me. I was going to spend my eternity in hell. The Holy Spirit dealt with me. Somebody didn't come and talk to me. The Holy Spirit told me. He said my family was going to end up in hell if I kept going the way that I does. And I realized my wife and kids were going to end up in hell. They're going to follow after me. Just understand that. People are following you whether you realize it or not. And if you're living like hell, they're following hell with you. People are following it. So, hallelujah. I tell you, you know what? I can say this. God scared the hell out of me. That's what He did. And I'm not saying it'd be vulgar. He literally did, because I was on my way there. I was going there. And I'll tell you, when I thought about my family's going to end up in hell because of me, I thought, man, I got to change. I didn't much care about myself. But my family, I thought, man, I'm going to drag my family to hell with me. We live in such a self-centered, selfish society today. People don't care what they do, even to their children or anybody else. They love the flesh, and they're going to follow the flesh if it destroys everybody else around them. And it's getting worse and worse all the time. Worse and worse all the time. People are just in a destructive mode. And that's why we need to preach the gospel, because the people cannot come to faith on this, they don't today, on this fake gospel that's preached. We got to tell them the truth. We got to tell them the danger. You know, in this prophecy says we're supposed to tell people. We're supposed to warn people about, a warning usually isn't something because somebody's doing something good. See, I know what my ministry is in these last days. The Lord told me, He said, I called you as a flagman on the road. And I remember, never forget, He told me that. It's over 20 years ago. He said, you're a flagman on the road. And I said, Lord, won't you give somebody else that job? Everybody hates the flagman. You drive down the road and they're trying to slow you down. Everybody hates the guy that's slowing you down. I said, they ain't going to like me. I said, no, they want to keep on flying. He said, that's your job. Your job is to be a flagman on the road. Because everybody, people running off to destruction. I watch Christians. They just speed by me 100 miles an hour. They don't pay attention to what you say to them. They're going down. And then after they have their crash down there and everything goes wrong. Why did God let that happen to me? I just don't understand. Why did God? How come? Well, it's easy to figure out. So, we know that we're in a society, but I told Lord, I said, Lord, I don't know if I want that job. I think, you know, they ought to give it to somebody. They should have gave it to John or somebody. You know, somebody thinks, you know, somebody called the ministry some kind of big thing. I'm going to tell you what. What God calls you to do, it may not be fun at all. You know, look at the Apostle Paul. Does that sound like a fun ministry? Everybody, God, give me a ministry like Paul's. I'll tell you, I can't wait to get stoned, beat by God. I say, we have a great time. I want to show Him the things He's got to suffer for my name's sake. Can I please have that one? Oh, hallelujah. And the part about it, you got to do what He says, or He'll judge you. So it's like, hallelujah. I learned to get over myself, you know. Glory to God. Well, you know, so is Noah's ministry is really, it's an important thing as we need to know is we're following in line with a pattern of Scripture. So this prophecy is speaking in line of the same type of thing as what happens as people come along and sin gets worse and worse and worse, and we're coming down on the end days. And we'll go into things in the Scripture also and look at some of these things. Now, I'm just going to read some scriptures where it says, in Hebrews the 11th verse 7 says, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Now I want you to understand, look at this thing here, once he said, Noah was divinely warned by God of things not yet seen. So it was things God told him was going to rain. Now I want you to think about this. It had never rained. People didn't know what rain was. Rain did not exist. God said it was going to rain. Now, if God told you something that does not exist, would you believe it? Most people will not. Even though the Bible says, you know, all things are possible to him that believeth, we deal with the things of what exists. The things that we usually putting ourselves in faith for do not exist. Do you ever notice that? We're believing for what does not exist. So Noah wasn't a weirdo. He's operating in faith. God spoke to him of something. See, you know, it's like healing. When a person's sick, their body's sick, and they're believing God for healing, they're believing for something that don't exist. Their faith is set towards something. This is the hard part for people. Now, we know and maybe have known and seen that people have gotten healed, but Noah had never seen rain. Now, understand this. Noah's not born again. Now, if Noah could do and believe God, it would be shameful. We can't. And it's shameful today, the weakness in the church world of faith. We're born of God. We have the nature of God. We ought to be operating on a higher level. And we need to know that. You know, this one thing is, I saw that before when I was just a young Christian. And I saw that. And I thought, my God, these people out here, they're believing God. I looked at the Old Testament and said, man, it's shameful. I need to get doing better. I'm born of God. I got the Holy Ghost in me. They didn't. You know? And so I started, you know, putting a demand on myself. If you're waiting, see, there was a big thing today. Nobody wants to do anything until somebody puts a demand on them. Should I tell you what a leader is? A leader, a true leader, puts the demand on themselves. Amen. You'll never be a leader. You're not a leader. If you're always waiting for somebody to put a demand on you before you do something, you're not a leader and you don't qualify to be one. You got to come to the place. You put the demand on yourself. Well, when I saw it when I was a young Christian, I thought, man, look at these people did. They weren't born again. They didn't have the nature of God. They believed God in the things that they did. And I thought, oh, dear Lord, Ed, you better get you strapped yourself up here, boy. You know, you can't turn around. And then, yeah, I'll never forget when Kenneth Hagin gave his testimony. 16 years old, believe God, got off a deathbed. And I said, man, I ain't going to let no 16-year-old kid outdo me. I said, hold it. See, most people don't think like that. They think about, well, you know, I'm just doing my best. No, we're not. This is about doing God's best, not my best. Dear, my best stinks. I'm just doing the best I can. You're supposed to walk in the strength of the Lord, not yours. But see, we've given ourselves reason to be weak and failures, and we've lived up to it. We've used the excuse of, poor old me. I just don't have it. Yes, you do. If you're born again, you got it. Hallelujah. And start measuring up to it. I'll tell you, if you start measuring up, God will measure up to you. Hallelujah. This is why people don't develop and go any further, because they never want to measure up. They want, you know, God, wave a wand over me, send somebody to pray over me and make it happen without me doing a thing. It don't work like that. Hallelujah. You need to see yourself in the light of who you are, what you are. Not what, you know, everybody will say, I want to be that or I want to be this. Well, what are you? You know, this isn't a fairy tale. This isn't some prince comes riding in on a horse and kisses you and it ride off and it's all turns out. It ain't going to happen. He ain't ever coming. The king already came. He already did what he's going to do. He already caused you to become a new creation. He put the Holy Spirit in you. He gave you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Man, what do we want? Hallelujah. This is the church of Jesus. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what we are. Hallelujah. And see, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm not ever going to be more than a conqueror. I am a more than a conqueror. See, you know, we want, well, when I conquer someday, I'll believe that. Well, it'll never happen. So just, you know, stay at home. It don't matter. It ain't going to work. That's not how it works. You believe what you are. Your success in life depends on what you believe about you now. It's what you believe now about you. You can sit out there and have all kind of people have wishful thinkings about following God. I want to tell you what, I can follow God today. I don't have to wait down in line of the future someplace. I have the ability now. God put the Holy Spirit in me. I can do it now. If I don't do it, I'm not going to give myself an excuse and say, well, Ed, you know, you just keep doing your best and you try real hard. You know? It's what you believe. You'll become what you believe you are. Not what you be gonna be. It's what you believe you are right now. You're no more successful in Christianity than you believe you are right now. God has made you righteous. People just got, well, one day I'll be righteous. No, you'll never be righteous. You'll never live righteous nor act righteous till you believe you are. When I started believing I was righteousness, my life changed. If you really believe that you have a righteousness, you'll start living righteous. People live like hell because they don't believe they're righteous. They don't believe they have to. They believe they can sin and get away with it. That's what they believe about themselves. They let sin lord over them. Jesus said, whoever your master is, that's who your Lord is. If you yield yourself to sin, then the devil's your master. I don't care if you're a Christian. The devil's going to master over you. So we want to get the place that said, hey man, that's not me. That's not me. I was never called to be that. I was never called to be under that. Hallelujah. So we can live a life of success. This man here, Noah, he was divinely warned. He acted in faith. He prepared an ark. He built an ark. 120 years. We talked about that last time. It amazes me. 120 years, this man built an ark. He didn't quit. This man for 120 years believed God and never saw a thing. Never saw a drop of rain. 120 years, never saw a drop of rain. And in 7 days before the rain comes, God says, move inside. It's still, you know, outside the sun's still shining. Now understand those days, there was no rain. There was no rain clouds over the earth. There wasn't any cloudy days. Back at that time, the earth was not like it was then. The earth was more like a terrarium type thing. The Bible talked about the waters below the earth and the waters above the earth. There was a water canopy above the earth. The Bible talks about it. It wasn't like it is today. So we were inside here. Said moisture would come up out of the ground. The Bible told moisture would come up out of the ground. The plants would grow. The people knew nothing about rain. They didn't have any cloudy days. Wasn't no cloudy days. It wasn't out there sun beating down on you anywhere. Wasn't beating down on you. You could have walked in any place in the earth. The temperature probably been the same. Every place in the whole planet would have been identical. So they're out there living and they're thinking, it's going to rain. This man's an idiot. He is building a boat and nobody needs a boat. No one needs a boat. But God spoke to this man and he did it. Now, number one, we know about this because Noah had a walk. And this is one of the things that we found about it. What it says, by him acting in faith, he condemned the world. Our actions of faith condemn the people around us who won't walk by faith. And that's why they hate you. When you walk by faith, this is why people don't like to be disliked, so they don't walk by faith. Don't walk by faith. People if walk by faith, you people may not like you. Because it's condemnation to them. When you walk by faith and trust God, it's a mark on them for their unbelief. Noah walked around for 120 years. He was a man, he condemned the world, it says, became an heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Romans 1:17 says, for it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That word just can also be translated righteous there. The righteous live by faith. And that's what Noah was doing. He was righteous by what he did. What he did condemned the world, not what he believed. Not what he believed. What he did. And what he did, he was doing by faith. He knew what the Word of God said, and he was following it. You know, that's how simple it is. You know, when people say, well, man, how you walk faith every day? You just walk by following the Word every day, and you're walking by faith. And you're righteous in doing it. Hallelujah. You're walking in righteousness. It's one thing to be righteous by faith in Christ Jesus. There's another thing to walk righteous. Walk righteous. You walk righteous by doing the right thing. See, believing the right thing gave you a righteousness, but walking by faith demonstrates that righteousness. And you will eat the fruit of your walk, not the fruit of what you believe. You're going to do it of your walk. So you walk, and then your actions, and this is what this man did. This man was a righteous man, and he walked in righteousness. Hallelujah. So we need to understand in this last days, one of the things is, you know, when you and I, we need to maintain in the safety of the ark. These are the days of drawing closer to God. These are the days of walking in a place closer to the Word. Many people are further away from it. They're moving in the opposite direction. The safety we found is because, you know, Jesus has spoken that vision, and we're going to look to find out if it lines up with the Word. Is one of the things is what they were doing in Noah's day is the majority of the people. And I said, think about it. You get Noah is the guy that is righteous. We're not told that his wife was righteous, nor his children were righteous, nor his daughter-in-laws were righteous. No, it never says it. It says he was righteous. And they were spared because of his righteousness. It's just one of the things that you need to know. Why it's so important that we walk righteous. We have a righteous life. It's so important that we do. That we have a Christian walk and not just a Christian talk. Much of the world today has Christianity is all talk. It's all it is talk. It's talk Christianity. It's not walk Christianity. We need to convert our believing into doing. That's where the power of God hits the road. That's where it works. You know, they say when the rubber meets the road, well, that's it. Talk is of no value without action. Talk is of no value. And see, we have that. If we look, you know, today, it's everybody's all talk, talks about things. You know, well, this should be done. And that's, who's going to do it? Not me. We ain't doing that. No, not I. Let's get somebody else. This ought to be done. That ought to be. The government ought to do this. We ought to get somebody to do it. We need somebody to do something. Yep, we're looking for somebody to do something. The church world's in exactly the same place. The Lord spoke to me some almost 20 years ago and said to me, because Kenneth Hagin, when Kenneth Hagin started teaching faith, you know, many of the Christians in those days had good walks that he ministered to, but what they didn't understand about faith and confession. And the Lord said they need to be taught about faith and confession. That's what they need to know. Well, the Lord spoke to me about 20 years ago and said, today the problem in the church is not believing. Many believe what the Word says. He said it's the doing. He said the reason people have no success, they don't do what they say. Now they're all talk. All talk. I believe this, I believe that. What do you do? Well, it doesn't matter what I do. It's what I believe. Well, that's what's important. I believe, I believe, I believe. James said that if what you believe, you don't have action to it, it's dead. It was much dead faith. And all of us have been there at times. We had dead faith. We said, but we didn't do. And it died. It wasn't any good because we weren't doing. We were saying, I believe this and I believe that. But that's not what we were doing. And our faith died right there. It was dead. Didn't produce anything. So those two things tied together are so hugely important. But right now, God is calling and speaking to the church. In other words, if you can't hear the call to repentance, you're dead spiritually. If you can't hear it, if you can't hear God calling people to get right, people know it's time to get right. Many people, even many people that don't want to have a thing to do with getting right, can sense God's moving to people to get right. They're sensing it. People are sensing with it. People are, you know what? That's one of the big uncomforts today going on among people. People are living like hell and knowing they shouldn't be. And they're going to cross grain with themselves and they live in torment. They live in torment. They torment themselves. One of the worst things that I've always told people this, I said, really, one of the worst time periods I went through in my life is when God was dealing with me before I got born again. I was just downright miserable. I was miserable. God was dealing with me and I'm living like hell and I'm over here trying my best to live like hell and my conscience is bothering me terribly because God's talking to me. See, don't ever think, a lot of people out here today, their conscience are bothering them terribly. Their conscience is giving them a hard time. You know, one of the things you'll find, you know, people, they say a lot of people have trouble with sleep. I can tell you, a lot of bad consciences. That's why you don't sleep well at night when your conscience ain't doing good, you know. I know myself, just even being a Christian, you don't get to repent and turn from something. You go to bed at night and you just, you don't sleep well, you know. You got something going on and you got to deal with things. You got to deal with stuff. So, we need to know God is speaking. So these comparable days that we're dealing with in the vision, it's just like it said, many of my own people will not accept the moving of my spirit and will turn back and will not be ready to meet me at my coming. Many will be deceived by false prophets, miracles of satanic origin. But follow, he says, now listen to this, three things. Follow the word of God. That's number one. You cannot follow Jesus. It's a 100% impossibility to follow Jesus without following the Word. Jesus is the Word. So he said, number one. Number one, the Holy Spirit uses the Word to reveal Jesus. So if you're not into the Word and getting into the Word of God, well, it's a real problem. He said, well, the Word of God, he said, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit, he's our teacher. He's the one that guides us and leads us into all the truth. That's number two. See, and then he says this, number three, he says, and me. In other words, see, the Holy Spirit leads you in line. Everybody's trying to do it backwards. Everybody's trying to get to Jesus first. And what happens? I mean, how it works. You get to the Word, the Holy Spirit will lead you in line with it and take you right over to Jesus. If you don't have a good fellowship with Jesus Christ, it's because you don't know the Word and you ain't listening to the Holy Ghost. Just that simple. It's that simple. That's how it works. It's the Word, the Holy Ghost, and I'll tell you what, you'll be walking in fellowship with Jesus and you'll know Him. Hallelujah. And if you know Jesus, Jesus said, if you know me, you know the Father. Daddy's just like me. Hallelujah. So you can fellowship with Daddy. Hallelujah. See, but you got to follow what the Word says to do. People keep trying to do everything backwards. They're trying to do all the stuff backwards. No, you know, they're trying to have this communion with Jesus. It's not going to be there. This is why so much deception goes on today. Now, what I want us to do, we're going to look at here. We're going to go over because we want to look at the fact, and we're going to start into the things that were said about people not walking in line with the truth. In other words, in these last days, what's going to be going on or what's going to be happening. So we want to look at this. He talked about His people being deceived and told us, make sure that we're not deceived. Today is a great day of deception. There's so much deception out here, so much deceiving. You know, we have all this today, you know, Oprah Winfrey and her, your truth, whatever's your truth. Well, you can make up your own truth. I had all my own truth I wanted and I was going to hell. And so is she. She'll be in hell with the devil and angels with her truth. It doesn't matter. Now somebody says, are you judging her? No, the Word judged her. The Word's already judged her. She'll be in hell. It isn't about my truth. It's about the truth of the Word of God. And so without the truth of the Word, people will be deceived. Think about this. Jesus said this, and I'm going to prove it through Scripture, because the Scriptures tell us the same things. Many of my people are not going to be ready to meet me at my coming. They're going to be deceived. They're going to be led off astray. They're going to turn away from the truth and the move of the Spirit of God. Jesus said so. And we're going to find that Scripture tells us that. We're going to look at it. We'll look at Scripture. The Scripture tells us that these things will take place in these last days. So this we can know. We're in the last 7 days. See, we look at Scripture and Scripture verifies this prophecy. Then therefore we know for sure we're living in the last days. We can know that. We're in this end thing. Hallelujah. And I believe we're at the end of the end. Hallelujah. We're down on it. Now, we want to look at some things. We want to deal, first of all, in the areas. I want to talk about hope. In John, 1 John, the third chapter. 1 John, the third chapter. We're going to read some scriptures here. And because number one is that we need to understand as Christianity, as we're Christians concerning hope and what the Bible's talking about, dealing in the areas of hope. Because Bible hope is not like we use the word hope today. You know, today the word hope in our vernacular is used basically, it's just wishful thinking. We're just wish, well, you just hope something good happens. Have no confidence, you know, it's just a, yeah, I hope we don't get run over by the truck today. I hope it all works out. I hope the meteor don't fall and hit me on the head. You know, I hope it don't work. I hope everything's all right. And that's what it is. That's not Bible hope. The word in hope in the Bible, in the New Testament, is majority of the time is used as a confident expectation of something good is going to happen. That's what it is. It's a confident expectation that good's coming. When the Bible, that's why the Bible says this. Faith is the substance of hope. If you don't have hope, you'll never come to faith. You have to have Bible hope. Bible hope is you believe something good's going to happen, and then the Word shows you the good that's going to happen to you, and you believe it and take a hold of it. Amen. It's a confident expectation that something good is going to happen. That's what you want to have. That's Bible hope. Now, we want to look at John wrote here in 1 John 3rd chapter, verse 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him." See, the world don't know you. See, if the world knows all these people out here today call themselves Christians, a good chance they ain't Christians. He said He don't know us. The world don't know you. You walk like God, you walk like a child of God, and the world wouldn't have a clue who you are. They don't know. He says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." Now, the hope He's talking about here, this Bible hope, this expectation of something good, this hope here is talking about the new body. It's talking about when Jesus, when we finally see Him face to face, we're going to be as He is. In other words, He has a glorified body. Now, think of this. The Bible says you're going to be like He is. Now, you're not going to be God, you know, you won't be God. But you're going to be, you have the nature of God, you're a child of God, and you're going to have a body exactly like He has. A body just like he does. An eternal body. Hallelujah. A spiritual body. We're not talking about a physical body. It'll be a glorified physical body, but it's glorified. It's a body that's flesh and bone, but it has no blood in it. It's a glorified body. Now listen what he says. Now we can know this if people truly believe, they truly believe that Jesus is coming back, because this is what it says. Everyone who has this hope just keeps living a filthy life. See, you can tell whether people really believe Jesus is coming back. See, the Bible answers every question. And it shows who's lying, too. That's right. It shows who's lying. Now, the Lord spoke this to me back. This goes back to 1987. This was about a month before Wanda and I and the kids moved out to Oklahoma to attend Bible school. And I preached a sermon in the church. And one of the things I used is scripture. But the Lord said to me at that time, when I was putting together things, He said, and I was reading on, everyone who has this hope purifies themselves just as He's pure. He said, in the last day, the major message is going to be preached is a returning of Jesus Christ. See, people are going to be preaching this message because they're going to be doing something. They're going to be purifying Himself. See, this isn't saying God purified me. You need to purify your life. It says you do this. This is you to purify your life, not God. Go read Colossians in the 3rd chapter. It tells you what to put on. It says, you put on this. It tells you what to put on. Put on concerning your flesh, what you're supposed to be putting on. Read it. See, this is what Christians keep trying to get God to put on them things, God to do things, when it's their job. Jesus did for me all basically that He's going to do. My job is to come in line with what He did. That's my job. Come in line with what He did. It is my job to purify myself. How do I do it? Jesus told the disciples, "You're clean by the word I give to you." See, if you're not into the word, you ain't ever going to get pure. You ain't going to ever get clean. You don't fellowship with God and the Holy Ghost. You don't fellowship with Him. You're not going to get clean. You're not going to get good. You're going to stay over. We purify ourselves. That's one of the big things. God is leading today. See, I know people think it's a lot of hard messages like this being preached, but this is about purification. In fact, the Lord told me today, I don't know when I'm going to do it, but I'm going to be teaching on sanctification. Boy, that'll make people's hair stand up. I'm going to tell you about that. The Lord told me to start teaching over in that area because of the reward of a sanctified life. You'll never, if you don't learn to live a sanctified life, you'll never know much about the blessing of God. You won't know about it. And so we need to understand the power of living sanctified and what it does for you to live in such a manner. And the power of God is tied to sanctification. And so here he says, we must purify ourselves, purify himself, just as he is pure. Now, God couldn't ask me to purify myself if I didn't have the ability to do it. He could, he wouldn't. That'd be enough. If I didn't have the means to do it and he said do that, I mean, man, that would be unjust. That would be unjust for him to ask me to do something I can't do. Well, praise God. I must be able to do it because he wrote it in the book. So I can do it. Hallelujah. See, it isn't me knowing everything about it. I must first face the fact of truth. I can do it. I might not even know how yet, but it says I can. See, most people, they ain't going to accept it as being true till I figure out how this thing works. And you know what? 20 years later, they're still doing it in the same spot. They have never accepted truth as being truth. No, they won't do it. No, I have to figure it all out. Then I'll accept it. That's why so many people are faithless. Because we want to use our mind. We have to use our mind. I have to understand it. I don't have to understand it. The Bible's clear. I got to purify myself. That must be true. So I have to, I can, praise God, I got to purify myself. Why? Because I believe something. I believe Jesus is coming back to get Ed and finish my redemption by giving me the redeemed body. Hallelujah. I believe that. So because I believe that, he says, I would purify myself. So therefore, glory to God. Because I believe that, I can purify myself. Hallelujah. I believe it's true. It's right, whether I understand it all or not. I don't have to understand it all. I have to believe it first. And God will teach you once you start believing the truth. Start believing the truth. See, you can identify yourself and say, hey, hold it. Do I really believe Jesus is coming back? Do I really believe? Now, I might say in the Bible, oh, yeah, I believe that's going to happen one day. But do you know the day you're living in? You need to understand this. You need to know the season you live in. It's just like the farmers out here. They have to know the season they're in when they're going to plant and do whatever they're going to do. If they want to have harvest, you must be the same way. You have to know. If you don't know the time you live in, there's things you'll never walk in with God. You have to understand the time that you live. What do I do in this time? See, this is why we have this prophecy. If this prophecy is true, this I know. I know why the church is in such bad shape. It hasn't walked in line with truth. It hasn't walked in line with the seasons. America is out of season. It's out of season. It's out of God's season. Yet, people said, God bless America. America, well, say it all you want. It don't matter. America must come into the season of God. And you know what that season is? Repentance. The church has to come first. And man, they ain't going at all. The church ain't going to repentance. The church has been, most Christians are just on their same old merry way down the road. See, we're in a season. What do? I found this out. Repentance is good. Boy, God's been opening up things and showing me. Dear Lord, repentance is good. It's wonderful. It's not something to hide from and hide out from. What we don't like is our self-centered and selfishness. I don't want to admit I'm wrong. Well, you are, and everybody knows it, so get over it. You might think you're hiding something from somebody. You're not. Just forget it. People are always doing this all the time. Act like, oh, yeah, you know. Everybody thinks I'm really great. Yeah. Who's been polling lately? They didn't ask me. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Those who have those hope. So those who have a confident expectation of the return of Christ, they purify themselves. See, God has to move toward the area and has to be moving into the area for Christians to purify themselves. He has to be emphasizing that. If he's coming back, wouldn't he be emphasizing that? God would never call a man to write a book you don't have to repent. Why is that stuff so popular now? Because the devil's been running the show. The devil's been dominating and ruling. And what is he doing? He's running cross grain to God. And how many people are following the cross grain? They're following that. Why? Because it pleases the flesh. It pleases the flesh. Oh, hey, I'm okay living like hell. Wow! Man, I'm doing good. I want to be all right. Well, hallelujah. Good luck, folks. So our hope is the return of Christ, the glorified body, our full redemption. That's what we're looking for. So we understand this. We have been redeemed. We've been born again spiritually. But there's the physical sides that we have not gotten yet, the full redemption. The full redemption, the glorified body. Just say, people in heaven, they don't have their full redemption yet. They're waiting to come back, receive their bodies. And one of the things is people don't understand, and why the church world doesn't understand about this stuff, if you understand some things, the point of spiritually being born again and getting a glorified physical body, Jesus Christ tied the physical world and the spiritual world together. He made them in perfection. Why? Because there's going to be a new heaven and earth. See, sin dominated and ruled from the side of the flesh or the natural side. But now that side's going to be redeemed. Sin will never dominate again in God's kingdom. It'll never take over again. It'll never dominate. Sin will never rule again. Sin will never be able to. See, that's why the people don't want Jesus. They can't. They got to be in the lake of fire. They can't be in the kingdom. They can't be overhearing that. They didn't want that. They wanted to live by the flesh. See, the people that want to live by the flesh, they're going to be all together. All the people living in the flesh are going to be all in one place together. Living in the flesh. That's where they're going to be. They can't enter the kingdom of God because sin can't be in that kingdom. And God's fixing the physical kingdom. When Adam sinned, that brought the physical kingdom, this kingdom of this earth, and man physically fell. His flesh became separated from God's flesh. His spirit did. God saved the spirit. And now Jesus Christ also saved the outer man and is going to make a glorified man. The new heaven and new earth is going to be a glorious place. Hallelujah. It's going to be a kingdom, and the kingdom is going to operate. People are going to have glorified physical bodies. Glorified physical bodies in this kingdom. This kingdom is going to have things in it that are glorified natural things. They're going to be glorified. They're going to be in perfection. It's going to be absolutely outstanding. Hallelujah. And so, you know, the Bible talks about the new earth is not going to have any ocean and that stuff. And people say, oh man, I like the ocean. Get over it. You know, my God, you think the best thing you got is the ocean? My words. You know, read the Bible sometime. You get happy over into something good. Dear Lord, I mean, get a glorified body. You won't be thinking about the ocean. Dear Lord, I'd hate to think that I would just be, you know, I've had people tell me, oh, I surely like the ocean. Well, keep living in sin. Go ahead and enjoy the ocean. I mean, get it out of your minds, the natural. We're stepping over into the glorified. We are so tied today to the natural. This is one of the things that's hurt the church. The church can hardly get revelation because it loves the natural so much. It loves the things of this earth so dearly. I mean, somebody dies and goes to heaven, you'd think they went to hell the way Christians act. Oh, they're just weeping, you know, for the next 5 years because this person left. Hold it! They're off in heaven? What on earth's wrong with your mind? They're with Jesus? And you think, you know, you're whining? It's like, dear God. Like Kenneth Hagin told a lady one time, she was about her husband and crying. He said, you know where your husband's at? He said, he's in heaven. He's with Jesus. He's up there. He started talking about heaven and what this guy is up there and that stuff. She said, you're crying like you're never going to see me. He said, You're acting like he's dead. He went to hell, and then you don't know where you're going to be either because you don't know if you're ever going to see him again. See, you know, we live in such a tie, even with people, we can't even do the will of God because we're so tied to the flesh and to people. We can't stand to be away from them for 10 minutes. We can't stand. Now, if we think about this kind of thing, Kenneth Hagin called to God. God called him and told him he would be for months on end away from his family out on the road. These were days you didn't fly in airplanes and go places and things. You know, when you got on a ship and went somewhere, my God, just get to the place you went to on a ship, take you a month. But he would be out ministering. He would go on. Sometimes he was as long as 6 months away from his family out ministering and stuff. Doing the will of God. And Christians can't tell. I mean, they get a week or so and more. They're tied in knots. They can't handle a thing. And they're wimping and whining and crying. We are so tied. Doing the will of God is not near as important as we try to say we think it is. What would you do? See, people say, well, I want to do the will of God. Do you really? He may tell you to do something. Hallelujah. Would you die for this gospel? It's easy for people to say they would. But I'm going to tell you what, there's not many people would die for much of anything today. Most people would be trying to kill somebody else, stay alive. That's what they'd be doing. We got to come down to things. What's important and what's real? This life is temporal. This is a temporal thing for them. You know, a lot of this don't even really matter. It has no significance. The only significance is the will of God. That's the only thing that's significant about this life. If the will of God's not done, your purpose here ain't worth spit. If I'm not following the will of God, my life's worth spit. It ain't worth a thing. It's nothing. And you got to come to that thing. The only thing of my importance here, that's why I've always said to people, you know, they say, how long do you want to live? I said, till I get my job done, I want to go home. I don't want to stay here. See, I believe in heaven. You get the job done, you leave. Most people want to live a long time. You know why they want to live a long time? They're scared to die. That's why they want to live a long time. They're scared of death. They're afraid of it as bad. I want to live a long time. Now I got to live a long time. My God, I don't want to die. Dear Lord. Well, I don't die. I'll never die. My body might croak and fall over one day, but the real Ed Gibson is never going to die.
Amen.
He ain't ever dying. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He ain't ever dying. Sorry, Wanda, you're going to put up with me forever. Hallelujah. But we have a wonderful hope. And see, let these truths become so true in you. So true in you to follow God where it becomes a thing, man, where it becomes so real to you that Jesus Christ is coming back. It becomes so real to you. He's coming back. Hallelujah. I mean, I pray and I talk to God about these things. I talk to Him. See, people, don't we read scriptures? I pray and I talk to God. Let the Holy Ghost talk to me about things. You need to get it in you that it's true. You need to know where you're at, what you're doing. You need to understand. It isn't, you know, most people say, yeah, well, the Bible says this. Well, yeah, it says a lot of things. But we got to come to believe concerning the truth in these things. Listen what Romans 8 said. This is the scriptures that things that really grabbed me many years ago. When I started really studying the Bible when I first got saved, and these scriptures really grabbed a hold of my spirit. And there were things that the Holy Spirit quickened in me. In Romans the 8th chapter, verse 22, starting there, says, "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now." God says the whole creation is groaning. It's groaning. Now this it says, "Not only that, but we also," listen, "who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." How many Christians actually are? Do you groan within yourself? Now I'm asking. Because I just want to let you know now. You need to know. Because see, this, we want to find all these scriptures in the Bible that says all these things. The Bible says this is what we're supposed to be doing. There's supposed to be a groaning. We see the groaning of the earth out here. God told Israel when they lived in sin, if you live in the sin, the land will vomit you out. What's happening in the earth? The land is trying to vomit the people off of it. That's what it's trying to do. But you know what's sad? The Christians don't notice the groaning in themselves. There's a groaning in me. There's been a groaning in me for years now. A groaning me for the redemption. It's a groaning. Back years ago when I got revelations about this, I got over where I wanted to go home. I wanted to go be with Jesus. I got over into this area and I started pushing into this area. And I started getting into it. I started talking to God about it. And I'll tell you what, to me, heaven became so real that I just wanted to leave here. I wanted to go from here. And I got over to things to one day, I was spending time with the Lord and I was praying. And the Lord said, "You need to stop it." And I knew what He was talking about right away. See, I was getting over and I wanted to go. I wanted to leave. He said, "You got to stop it. It ain't your time to go yet." You need to understand this, folks. You'll determine when you leave, not God. You'll determine when you leave, not God. That authority is in our hands. It's not in God's. It's in our hands. The Bible teaches what we can do to shorten our life or lengthen our life. It tells us what we do. It don't tell us what God does. It tells us what we do. The authority in your life. He wanted me to stop it. He said, "Because it ain't time for you to go yet. There's things you must do here." And I'll tell you what. I wanted to go. You know, you get over to that really good. This ain't no good when you get over to that really good. You want to get over there. And He told me, "You got to stop it." You see, I'd have got that so seated in my spirit. See, you can get things seated in your spirit. You can't turn them around. You get it so in you. See, this is what happens. People don't realize. You know how many times you pray for people when they're dying and you can't turn it around? I'm going to tell you why. Because they have set something in their own spirit. And if you can't get them to change it, you can pray night and day, fast all you want to, and do whatever you want to, and you ain't going to change it. They're going to leave. They set themselves. If their spirit is sent in a direction, you can't change it. You don't have the authority to. That's why when a person becomes unconscious, whatever they set themselves for, you're gonna have to just go along for the ride with them. You're not going to change it. Unless you can get them to wake up, you can get them awake, and they change it. And sometimes people don't. That's why the Lord's told me many times that people, things are happening. He'd tell me beforehand, what's going to happen? They're set in a direction. This is what's going to happen. See, and you need to know that. We have this idea, that if we just really pray, if we really know how to pray, we turn all this around. People don't realize the authority we have as believers, the authority as Christians of humans in this earth that God gave. The authority of this earth and running this earth has been given to people. It's not to God, it's to people. That's why when Jesus left, he turned the authority over to man in the earth. Whatever we bind will be bound. Whatever we loose. See, we don't know much about this stuff. The church don't preach it because it's heresy. God's in control. We're complaining about people's lives and people's lives getting shorter. They shortened their own life. God didn't. They set things in motion. There's things that you can do and shorten your life. That's why you want to live a repentant life. Because you can do things that will shorten your life. And if you don't repent of them, I'm going to tell you what, that door's going to get closed on you. And it ain't going to be pretty. The devil's going to kill you. God ain't going to kill you. It's what you decide you let him do. It's what we bind and we loose. Praise God. That's good preaching anyhow. Well, those pants. It says, verse 24, for we were saved in this hope. You were saved in this hope. You were saved in, but hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So let understand this. He said, we were saved in this hope. What was the hope? That there's a groaning inside of us wanting the new body. Amen. See, there should be. In other words, we need to know, is there things that I'm not paying attention to on the inside of my human spirit? See, there's things need to be developed in us. And this is the day and time Christians need to be moving toward the place of listening to that groaning, because we'll purify ourselves. We will purify ourselves when we yield to this groaning. Where we, Lord, Jesus, come quickly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When it comes down to it, number one, you'll have this groaning in you. You'll want to see others saved. You will want to see others delivered. You get it. See, it's one thing. We want to have this, pulling of God in the earth without a pulling in us. Ain't going to happen. When it pulls in us, back last year, the year before there, at 19, when Randy Greer laid hands on me, and he spoke us this thing. I'd just been praying about certain things concerning the move of God, and he laid hands on me and said, you're going to walk in, the Lord said, you're going to walk in everything you prayed. Well, see, the things I prayed wasn't about me. It was about a move of God in this earth. He said, you're going to walk. See, I'm going to get to walk in it. See, it isn't something just happening to me. It's going to happen in the earth. I tell you, it was a lot of supernatural things I prayed about. Supernatural things taking place. To walk in those things. Why? Because inside me is a groaning for those things. Man, I'll tell you what. I want the supernatural. I am tired of Christianity the way it is today. It stinks. It is a stench to me, and it's a big stench to heaven. It's a stench. Because it is nothing. It's not tied to the supernatural. It's everything's natural. We're just trying to down here be good, trying to be nice people. We're to be supernatural people. We're desired. Man, you want the hand of God on you. You want to be different. If you want to be like you are, man, you're at the wrong place. I'll tell you. It don't go any good to listen to these things and not, you get the craving of it for you inside. Man, I tell you what, just like when the anointing comes on me, the things I sit and pray about, they start to, inside me, they just get a hold of me. It's like some of this stuff I can just almost reach out and touch. It's like, man, let's get close. We got to get this thing. We have to have it. We have to have a move of God. We have to have a supernatural move of God. We have to have it. If it does not take place, there is no point for any of us being on the earth. There's no point for it. Let the devil have it. We might as well go. People aren't coming to God because, we're just sweet people. We nice. We're giving hamburgers to the poor. We're giving them hot dogs. Oh, my God. We're you nice folk. I tell you, we're really good people. What they never really need, they never get. They need delivered. The devil dominates them and rules them. And you know what? We're keeping the devil's kids fat. We're just keeping them living. That's all we're doing. Being good people. Hallelujah. We need better than that. Well, praise God. I'm going to stop there. I could just go on and preach. I'll tell you, I got to preach on tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But I want you to get a hold of that. Get it within yourself. We're coming down to the full redemption. You know, people are happy with being saved. I want more than just being saved as I am. There's a crawling in me. I didn't get all my salvation yet. You know, we're still fighting this stupid thing, trying to keep our bodies well, trying to keep our minds in a straight in a direction and everything else. Man, I'm ready for the new one, man. God, can you imagine how glorious it'd be? Can you imagine the glory of not being able to be tempted? Can you imagine the glory of being no hindrance to the plan and purpose of God? You're not fighting. You're taught, and you aren't struggling to understand. Your mind, you can hear the word and believe it. There's no flesh to draw you off. Now you're talking about something wonderful. I mean, don't get no more wonderful than that. Man, I can't wait to get this new suit. My God, it's going to be a good one. Hallelujah. To be like Jesus? You'd think people just be so excited about Jesus coming, but they're not. Because people love the world and the things of the world. It's like, no, man, let's get the new suit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm jealous because, see, if I'm alive here, I'm jealous because the dead will get theirs first. I want mine first. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to thank you tonight. Lord God, you're so glorious and you're so wonderful. You're so incredible. And I just thank you, Father. Father, you're raising up a people. And Lord God, I realize the crowd sit around and watch on the outside. They look around. But Lord God, you're raising up a people on the inside. Hallelujah. Lord God, that are hungering and thirst for righteousness. And you said if we would hunger and thirst for it, we'd be filled. Hallelujah. So I want to thank you. I know I'll be filled. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's no doubt about it. You couldn't lie. Hallelujah. That'd be impossible. And we thank you, Father. Father, I want to thank you that you raise up within us that groaning and that great hope. Hallelujah. Becomes so strong in us, Lord God. Lord God, Lord, the days of purification, they're here. And Lord God, you're already working in us. You're already doing things in us. You're already taking us, Lord God, from glory to glory. You're already doing these. And Father, we see them. And Lord God, they're very clear to us, but they're not clear to so many. Hallelujah. And Lord God, our heart cry is for them. Lord God, because our desire that we want them to see. Lord God, I don't want to need to move the Spirit that I may see, but I want to move with the Spirit that they may see. I want to move with the Spirit that they may know and they may come to understanding. Lord God, because, hallelujah, Lord, you've showed me how to see. You've shown me how to walk. Hallelujah. You've revealed it. And Lord God, thank God you've taught us how to yield to your glory and how to yield to your Spirit. Lord God, we're not struggling with those things. Hallelujah. But Lord God, the people on the outside struggle in everything. Lord God, the flesh dominates and rules. But Lord God, we pray because we desire glory in these days for their behalf. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, so we thank you. Father, we're not going to be disappointed, and neither will they. Hallelujah. Father God, you will reveal your glory. Lord God, there's people out here that have just been waiting, Lord God, for some reality of spiritual things. Hallelujah. And they will see them. And Lord God, there's ones out here that they've walked with you in the past, but they have not walked closely in many years and a long time. But Father God, in the move of these last days, even though some will stray away, many will come back and come and walk again in your glory. Many will come again, hallelujah, to the light of the Word of God. And so we thank you, Father. We expect absolutely wonderful things. Lord God, there will be hordes and hordes of people coming into the kingdom, hallelujah, that have never known you, Lord God. And this last day harvest will be great, Lord God. Hallelujah. And we're looking for that day. Oh, hallelujah. When our brothers and sisters have gone on before us, they will come back and get their new bodies. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we who are alive, alive and remaining will be caught up together with them in the clouds to forever be with our Lord. Glory to God. What a day, what a time. Hallelujah. Father God, Father, I could leave right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Looking with excitement to that time and place of glory. But also, God, we're looking for fulfilling your plans and purposes in these days. Hallelujah. Glorifying Jesus in the earth. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.